Today on Real Radio.
And they repent from their sins, but the message of Christ was not being preached by Apollos. He was sincere. He was a sincere vessel. He was teaching out of the Old Testament. But he wasn't bringing them into the new. And the message of repentance is a great message, and you got to have it to get saved. But if that's all you hear, you know what you grow up being? Very legalistic. No, no, no. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. A baptism of repentance, and that's all you know.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. If you've been a believer for any considerable length of time, you may have noticed that when you hear one's testimony, it often culminates with the point at which they receive Christ. Yet Almighty God works in the lives of His people in two essential ways: justification and then sanctification. That's what we're learning about in portions of chapters 18 and 19, where the Apostle Paul continues to spread the word about Jesus of Nazareth being the promised Messiah and the only way to salvation. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs, continuing in his presentation called How to Grow Up in Christ.
I don't know why you're here today. Maybe you're looking for something, or maybe you think you should do the religious thing to do. Maybe somebody in your family, they've always been a Christian, they've been telling you, well, you ought to go. Well, you know, you shouldn't ought to go because somebody tells you to go, though somebody will forever tell you to go because they love you. Come on, let's go. I want you to come. Let's come to church. Come on. The reason why they're doing that to you is because they want you to get to heaven. Okay, do you want me to talk to them right now for you, everybody? They don't want you to burn in hell. The Bible says if you don't receive Christ, you're going to toast. You're going to burn. Because a heart that has not chosen Christ is independent and thinking that it can make its own path to God. Jesus says, no, I'm the only way. Jesus said, you either choose me or you reject me. And to stay neutral is to reject me. So you and I, we talk to our friends and we say, well, why don't you come? We're going to have a little skit. Well, why don't you come? We're going to have a concert. Why don't you come? We're going to have, whatever. Oh, come on. Why don't you come so you don't burn in hell? Because we don't want you to die and go there. Jesus Christ died on the cross to free you up from that terrible place. It's the only way to go. He loves us. He loves you. The Word of God will instruct us. Verse 23, look at the first thing we see is that Paul strengthens the body, the brethren, through the Word of God. Verse 23, now begins the third and final missionary journey of Paul. After he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the region of Galatia and Perga. That's a lot of territory, in order, sequential, in chronological order to the establishment of the church on his first trip. He's doing what we would call follow-up. Watch what happens. He's strengthening all the disciples. He's teaching them Bible, just like what we're doing. He encouraged them. He showed them how to study the Bible. He showed them when Nehemiah was talking about this, this is what he meant. He talked to them about Moses. He gave them teaching. And that's how the body of Christ is encouraged and strengthened and brought along. The word strengthen here in the Greek is a great word. It means to add support to reestablish, or to nurture, or to, what I like is the word here, to confirm them. Man, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like going under and somebody will come by. In fact, it happened this week. I was thinking about something and just really kind of mulling this thing over, and boy, what's about this? What about the other? And somebody walked by and they said, oh, you know what? Lord gave me a verse. I want you to hear it. And kaplump, here's this verse. And it was like, Have you ever seen the Nesty plunge in the pool? It was just great. It's all I needed. That's being strengthened by the Word of God. The Word instructs us. The Bible says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart, O Lord, that I might not sin against you." We're going to get to this in a moment about what all that might mean. But the Word will instruct us. The Word will instruct us. Paul uses the Word to strengthen them. The second thing here is that the Word instructs us. Look what it says, really, by adding servants to the call that Paul, that God had put upon Paul's life in the church. Look, it says, verse 24, "Now a certain Jew." Man, I love that. A certain Jew. One who's been targeted by God. In this auditorium this morning, there's a certain John. There's a certain Peggy. There's a certain Beth. There's a certain Brian. Do you believe that? Or it's like, well, I don't know. Boy, how you respond to what I just said is really going to come back and convict you if I hurry up and get to the meat of all this stuff. Well, whatever. Take it or leave it. In our house, there's something great going on. But if somebody's not acting excited about it, we'll make fun. We'll go, have you ever watched Winnie the Pooh? You ever see Eeyore? Don't you love that guy? Everybody's looking for a house for Owl. Nobody can find one. And then Eeyore comes up and goes, "I found it. House for Owl." And there's a lot of, I think, Eeyore Christians sometimes. "I'm here praising the Lord." Look, man, five people just got saved. "Praise the Lord." And then you know what's funny? Man, we go to a duck game or to a angel game and watch them slip the entire first place away and hand it over to the Mariners, but I'm not going to talk about that. And we go, gotta leave church now, going to the stadium. And we get to the stadium and, oh man, baby, come on, pitch that thing right in there. And we're all crazy about the things of the world. Come to church, I found it. Parking space for me. You know? So funny. How I got on this, why I got on this, I have no idea. A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria in North Africa, an eloquent man, this guy could talk. You ever meet guys like this? Listen to this guy. This guy's very unique, very rare. I don't think we've ever met a guy like this. Maybe the marriage retreat, we met a man like this. Listen to this. An eloquent man at speaking, mighty in the scriptures, he came to Ephesus. This man, verse 25, had been instructed in the way of the Lord. He had been taught the Old Testament to the max. And he could really talk. Not only that, he was fervent in spirit. The word means boiling. The word fervent in the Greek means to boil. His spirit's boiling. Look what it says. Verse 25. He spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord. That's Old Testament. How do we know? Look what it says. Though he knew only the baptism of John. John's message was the last Old Testament message ever given. John the Baptist was the last Old Testament prophet that we have in Scripture. But watch what happens here. Apollos is preaching. He's a strong messenger, but he's got a weak message. His message is just the baptism of John. Hear me out. The baptism of John, well, that had been preached about 20 years earlier. Many years had gone by. Paul is now getting older in life. Things are coming along. I don't think it was about 20 years. It was certainly some years. Paul now, though, is getting older on in life, coming back, his last missionary journey, the third one of his life, final one of his life. He comes to Ephesus. We'll see what happens in a moment. But the thing is, Apollos, who is a very persuasive speaker, is teaching the baptism of John. Listen, great message, but a little out of date. And what was his message? The scripture says that his message was repentance. Listen. Matthew 3, verses 1 and 2. John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, that's good. You got to repent to get to heaven. Mark's gospel says that John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Listen to this. He was preaching a message about repentance of sins. So people come and they say, yes, I want a repentance of sin. I want to follow God. And they repent from their sins, but the message of Christ was not being preached by Apollos. He was sincere. He was a sincere vessel. He was teaching out of the Old Testament. But he wasn't bringing them into the new. And the message of repentance is a great message, and you got to have it to get saved. But if that's all you hear, you know what you grow up being? Very legalistic. No, no, no. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. A baptism of repentance, and that's all you know. So if a person sits in a church and hears, you better turn, brother. You better repent. You better repent. And never be given the message of Christ that Jesus is the one who empowers you by the Holy Spirit to go from repentance into grace and into a newness of life, you will forever be a frustrated, legalistic Christian. Do you hear me? Or maybe not a Christian at all. You'll have a works-centered relationship with God. As long as you go and confess, everything's okay. What a horrible world to live in. You have no power to stop sinning, and so you have to go to confession every week to clean the slate, and the moment you step out into the car again, you start sinning again because there's no power in your life. It's called religion, people. Are you with me? It's a religious relationship with God rather than a personal relationship with God, which is through the Spirit. And our culture is inundated with that kind of relationship to God, legalistic. And it's very sad. Repentance, absolutely. It has to happen in our lives. But it's a turning point to come to Christ. Preaching the message of John's baptism. Listen to this. The third thing that we see concerning this instruction of the scriptures that we're taught to stand on the authority of the word of God. Look at verse 27. And when he desired, after Priscilla and Aquila brought him aside quietly, instructed him more, it says here that when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him. Man, when this guy comes, receive him. He's a good man. All those who had believed through grace. Verse 28, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. What a great guy. This guy was such a great minister of the Lord that later on when he comes to Corinth, people will begin to say, well, I'm of Apollos. Well, I'm of Paul. Well, that's nothing, you guys. We're of Peter. We were going to Peter's church. And in Corinthians, the super spiritual one said, we're none of those guys. We're of Jesus. And those guys were probably the worst ones of them all because it was like super. I'm a Baptist. I'm Calvary Chapel. I'm a Methodist. Big deal. Whenever there's division, by the way, God's not happy about it. Not happy about it at all. We are Christ. If we're born again, we've been brought into the body of Christ. Jesus doesn't take his arm and say, well, you know, these guys are over here, and cuts it off and puts it on the table, and let me see, let me take my elbow off and put it over here. What a horrible thought. We're one. Divisions. But Paul and Apollos were very effective ministers, and they never wished such division upon anybody. But they stood, and Apollos stood, on the authority of the word of God. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15 to be diligent. Are you diligent? Am I diligent? To present yourself approved to God, okay? How do I do that? Being a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you know how to divide the word of truth. You'll only know how to divide the word of truth by getting involved in studying the Bible Tuesday nights in the Bible classes and studying the inductive Bible study method. That teaches you how to rightly divide the word of truth. That will keep you from error. 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify, set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts, and always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks of you the reason for the hope that is in you, that you have. And do this with gentleness and respect. Can you give somebody an answer? Are you a Christian? Yes, Jack, I'm a Christian. Can you give them a defense for why you believe what you believe? You need to be able to stand on the authority of the Word of God. That's what Sundays and Wednesdays and your devotional life and Tuesday nights and whatever night and day and everything's about. Can you do it? When the precious Mormons knock at our door, what do? Do you draw the curtains? Like, shh. You are not rightly dividing the word of truth and giving to everyone an answer for the reason for the hope. That you ought to open the door and say, I've been expecting ya. Watch their eyes. You have? Yeah. Did somebody tell you about us? Sure did. Who did? Jesus in the Bible. Well, yeah? Yeah, and I want to talk to you about it. Can you lead them? You got to be able to do that. Well, I don't know if I can, Jack. Well, then get it down now. Start working on it. Find out how to give people the reasons for your hope that you have. Very important. Apollos was schooled more accurately and was able to give a more accurate gospel. Now watch this. Boy, we're going to go quick, and I'm going to confuse you, I'm sure. Like chapter 19, verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, listen, came to Ephesus. That's where he had been preaching the baptism of John. That's all. You with me? Apollos preached in Ephesus the baptism of John. Paul comes to Ephesus on the heels of Apollos. Watch what happens. He passed through the upper regions and came to Ephesus, and finding some of the disciples, look at verse 2. He said to them, or asked them, look at this, underline it in your Bible, very strange. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Why did he ask that question? He was a doctor making his rounds. Paul showed up at Ephesus and he said, well, there's a lot of believers here. Boy, are they dead? How do I know that? Paul says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He's not denying that they're believers. They believe. But are they born again? There's volumes written about, they're not born again yet and all this stuff. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know the answer to that. But all I know is these guys believed on the message of John the Baptist and that Christ should come. Are you with me? Paul shows up with his clipboard and goes from room to room and he says, man, you're not healing up very well. I don't even know if you've got a heartbeat. He calls everybody together and he says, have you received the Holy Spirit since you've believed? And look what their response is. And they answered and said to him, we have not even so much as heard as there even is a Holy Spirit. Well, then what baptism were you baptized into anyway? Into John's baptism. Look at verse 4. Then Paul said, John indeed. Okay, good. That's good. John indeed, yes, rightfully so, baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him, Christ, Messiah, who would come after him, that is after John, that is Christ Jesus. Okay, and they all went, okay, fine. Great. It says in verse 5 that when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now watch this. Some denominations are going to say, were you baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? And you might say, I don't remember. Oh man, then you're in deep trouble. Then there are some, if you get baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and walk out of the ocean and stand on the shore, and somebody walks up and says, wait a minute, were you baptized in the name of Jesus only? Because you know there's a denomination that says you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus only. Well, gee, I think I was underwater. I didn't hear him. I don't know. I think he said, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Oh, man, are you in trouble? Because it's got to be in Jesus only. So look, today, we have a baptism today. And we know that people have different views. Honestly, I don't care. Jesus tells us about baptism in Matthew 28. And the scripture does say, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. No problem. So what we do is when we grab you, take you in the water, I'm going to tell you right there, I'm going to say now, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And they go, yeah. And I say, great. In Jesus' name. Amen. And you baptize them. So when they come up, somebody asks them, how are you baptized? The right way. All of the above. Give me your argument. What, was it in Jesus only? Yep. Oh, wait, did I just hear you say Jesus only? Well, I say Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Yep. Well, how'd it happen? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. And down they go, safe. Base is covered. Isn't that great? How do we grow up in Christ? Well, by receiving the Holy Spirit. First of all, you may be churched, but you may not be born again. You believe in God. So do the devils. James chapter 2. It says that the devil believes in God and trembles at the thought, yet he's not going to heaven. Do you believe in God? Well, let me ask you this. Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation called How to Grow Up in Christ, a look at portions of Acts chapters 18 and 19. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio in our look at the book of Acts. Well, the Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference is now just days away, and yet there are still openings, and I'll tell you what, Pastor Jack, I'm continually amazed at the lineup of speakers, the amount of speakers, and the caliber of these authors and speakers for this conference.
We've got a great lineup of speakers who, number one, Waleed Shubat for one, Kamal Saleem. These men grew up in Islam and were former PLO terrorists and now have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the Bible as God's word, and their passion is to reach others, to rescue others. And then we have Bridget Gabriel, who listeners may be aware of through CNN and Fox News and BBC. She travels the world. She has spoken before the U.S. Congress, Senate, Parliament, both in England and Australia. And she's a young lady who has grown up in Lebanon under the threat and the attack, literally, of radical Islam. And her heart is to reach now the Muslim for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there is a great, great lineup of speakers. We've got Jay Smith coming from London, England, who is considered an expert in the world on Islamic doctrine. Jay Smith reportedly knows the Quran better than most Muslims do.
And it's just $25 for the entire weekend event, right?
The entire conference, Friday evening, all day Saturday, Sunday, this entire conference is just $25. Now, I got to tell you, when I hear of something being $25, I think it's cheap. It must be no good. But friends, listen, Calvary Chapel Chino Hills has stepped up and paid so much of this event that the $25 ticket is something that guarantees you a seat. You do need to get a ticket, and you can obtain that ticket at the SoCalProphecyConference.com website. Just go there. You can even Google Southern California Prophecy Conference and it's going to come up. Or you can call us at 909-393-7100. That's 909-393-7100. Or if you're out of town, you can get a hold of us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO.
Okay, well, if you missed any of that contact information, just visit us at SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. California.